The guy behind the guy at Apple gets a promotion. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. There was a time that a young person with musical skills wanted to grow up to be maybe Keith Richards. These days, people with design skills often want to grow up to be Johnny Ive at Apple. There's word that Ive is getting a promotion, going from Senior VP of Design to become Apple's Chief Design Officer. Now, this is a move from guiding the devices and the software to designing on perhaps a wider canvas for Apple. Ben Johnson, host of our sibling program Marketplace Tech, is here with more. Ben, what does this promotion mean?
Well, for one thing, David, it means more power. When Johnny Ive's job switches in July, he'll be one of only three C-level executives at the entire company. That's C as in CEO Tim Cook. The company says he'll be expanding his design work at Apple to go beyond consumer products. Now, according to the Apple statement, this means designing Apple stores in China, maybe even furniture for the big new spaceship-shaped headquarters that the company is building in California. There were some who thought that Ive was getting ready to retire, and this proves he'll be around a little while longer, and it's probably good for business because Ive is considered to be part of Apple's DNA.
Mr. Ive already has a lot of influence. I mean, he's a household name, at least among designers. He was knighted in 2012. But why now, do you think, with this?
If Steve Jobs was considered a businessman and a creative genius, that role has kind of been split now, David. Tim Cook, in most people's eyes, is the business end of this. Ive is the company's visible creative force. The guy has his name on over 5,000 patents. He's part of the reason that designers are considered rock stars in the tech world these days. And the list of Apple products Ive has been key in designing reads kind of like a greatest hits list, David. We've heard of all of them: the iPod, the iPhone, the iMac, the iPad, and of course, the Apple Watch. Maybe someday we'll all be sitting in Joni Ive office chairs designed in Cupertino.
All right. Ben Johnson is host of our sibling program, Marketplace Tech. Ben, thank you.
Thank you, David.
Another story we're covering this morning: news that Charter Communications, controlled by media tycoon John Malone, has struck a deal to buy Time Warner Cable, $55.3 billion. Combined, the companies will be billing about 24 million customers for cable TV or internet. Antitrust regulators will examine this, but experts say the deal stands a better chance than the one that unraveled between Comcast and Time Warner Cable. Bernie Sanders, the second-term independent senator from Vermont, officially kicks off his campaign for the Democratic Party presidential nomination today. Sanders, who often votes with the Democrats in Congress, describes himself as a Democratic socialist. That socialist label might seem a liability in American politics, but as Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports, over the last century, socialists have made their marks in national campaigns.
Go back to the election of 1912, and socialist firebrand Eugene Debs is pulling 6% of the popular vote nationwide. Advocating their solutions for America's working men, women, and children, those early socialists might have been polarizing, but at least they were well known, says presidential historian Julian Zelizer.
They didn't win. They didn't get huge portions of the electorate. But they put forth a lot of the issues in the early 1900s that would eventually become part of the platform of the Democratic Party.
Like the 8-hour day, child labor laws, and Social Security. Starting in the Great Depression, Norman Thomas ran as a socialist 6 times. Great-granddaughter Louisa Thomas has written a book about him.
He was running for president to use it as a platform. He had this quote that he was a champion not of lost causes, but of causes not yet won.
Democratic socialist Bernie Sanders is expected to use his presidential run to push the Democratic Party to the left. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Video gaming, then pizza, followed by pizza and more online gaming. Now there's word some gamers are expanding their horizons. A tavern has opened in Savannah, allowing gamers to drink and keep gaming. Georgia Public Broadcasting's Emily Jones reports.
Walking into the Chromatic Dragon feels like entering most bars at first. You decide if you want to sit at the bar or get a table, sit inside or out. A friendly employee approaches, but he's not a server. He's a game master.
Are there any board games or card games you guys like to enjoy while you enjoy your food tonight?
On the tables, cards and dice are spread out between the plates of food and drinks. Flat-screen TVs with access to Xbox 360, PlayStation 3, and the latest Wii line one of the walls.
Oh, not in the face, not in the face.
On the first of several couches, two young guys are engaged in a fierce Mortal Kombat battle. One's black T-shirt says simply, combat. Patrick Gardner says it's more fun to play his favorite games here than at home.
I assume you have, like, gaming systems at your house, right?
Yes, I do. But, like, you know, meeting new people is like a new experience, you know what I'm saying?
In just 1 month, 153 people pledged almost $21,000 on Kickstarter to help the bar open. Owner and lifetime gamer Clegg Ivey says all of this socializing is part of the appeal, despite the misconception that gaming is a solitary activity.
But really, it's not. I mean, anybody who's ever hung out at somebody's place with a Nintendo sitting on the table, everyone's taking turns, or we're playing, say, Mario Kart, where there might be four or five people all racing at the same time. And it's a great way to connect with other people.
Gamer pubs like this one are opening in a handful of cities. Ivy says someday he'd like to see gaming bars as popular as sports bars, where each one is a hub for a different game, the way many sports bars favor a certain sport or team. For now, though, Savannah's gamers have just the one pub for just about any game.
This is Epic Spell Wars of the Battle Wizards, or Duel at Mount Skulls Fire.
Colorado Brown says he's been looking forward to gaming here for a simple reason.
I love board games, I love video games, and I love booze and good food.
And now he can find all that in one place. In Savannah, Georgia, I'm Emily Jones for Marketplace.
According to new numbers today from the Associated Press on executive compensation, on average, the best way to get rich is to become CEO of a healthcare company. But the names at the very top bucked these averages. Six of the top 10 highest paid bosses in America are in the media industry. Number one is David Zaslav, CEO of Discovery Communications. Shark Week on his Discovery Channel was good to him. A new contract means his pay quadrupled to $156 million. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.